trouble with discussion. Okay, there's a very dramatic narrative, and there are a lot of dramatic narratives, but there's one extremely dramatic narrative in Chumash, which describes how Moshe Rabbeinu meets God at the sinner, the burning bush. And at that dramatic encounter, so God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way it's going to play out. Okay? Moshe obviously is very concerned about how he's going to be the leader and the manhig for Am Yisrael, he's going to be involved in taking Am Yisrael. But God tells him, this is the way it's going to play out. What's the way it's going to play out? So he tells Moshe, you're going to show Am Yisrael and the Zakenim of Am Yisrael, you're going to show them all the signs, and you're going to explain to them that after all these years of servitude, we are going to leave, and God has spoken to me, and we're going to leave Mitzrayim, and we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So, okay, that's the way it's going to play out. So the Torah tells us, after that, in Shmos, what actually occurs. So Moshe goes to Am Yisrael and tells them the story, and there's a very positive response. They say, go for it. You know, this is, you should do it. We're behind you. And then later on, when the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu showing up in front of Paro, together with his brother Aaron, all of a sudden you see something missing. What occurred? What's missing? The Zakenim, the Zikneim B'nai Yisrael, are not there. God had said, you're going to tell them, and they're going to be there. But in the end, they weren't there. So the Ramban and Rav Avraham ben Harambam says, no, they were really there. The Torah just wanted to be makatzer. He just wanted to, the Torah didn't want to speak at length. He kept things brief. So, but they were really there. But Rashi, right on that pasuk, says, no, they weren't. What actually occurred was that as they were walking towards Paro's mansion, I guess, or his castle, whatever it was, people got nervous. And slowly but surely, they slipped away. They left. All the Zakenim, they were walking together with Moshe and Aaron, and slowly but surely, they just disappeared, and they weren't there anymore. They left. And Moshe and Aaron were there to face Paro all alone at one of the most important junctures in Jewish history. And Rashi brings down right over there the Medrash, then when it came time for Kabbalah Satara, so Moshe stepped forward, and so did the Zakenim. The Zakenim also assumed that they were going to be together with Moshe Rabbeinu to receive the Torah. After all, they're the Zakenim. And Rashi says, the Medrash says that because of what they did, because they slipped away, because they didn't participate at that important juncture, God told them, go back. You're not going to be here for this one. And they would have been for Kabbalah Satara. And when you think about this, you just think how typical. How people very often, you know, they have these great ideas, and then people say, go for it, go for it, we'll join you, we'll even help you. And very often people, you know, maybe they, in their heart, they really meant it. But in the end, to really come through takes determination, strength, courage, willingness to sacrifice of yourself, sometimes time, sometimes money, sometimes other things, right? Maybe personal, it's personal comfort, personal security, whatever it is. But they weren't willing to do it. And because of that, they went down for time immemorial that these were the people for all time that weren't there to stand by Moshe and Aaron. And God remembered. And they were punished. So, what do you see from this? So I remember when I learned through these psukim and these rishonim. So you see that there are two types of leaders. There are leaders who are on the forefront. They're the ones who take the initiative. They have the ideas, and they're there right up front. But they can't handle the burden all by themselves. They can't shoulder everything. And it's not fair to expect that they should. What do you really need? Who is maybe the even more important level of leadership? It's that second tier. It's the people who support the leadership. The people who say, what can we do to help? I don't know if you've ever spoken to your rabbi of your shul, but if you haven't gone over to him and asked him, you know, I'm sure there's a lot that needs to be done in this shul. what can I do to help? He would probably be shocked that someone even asked, and he would be very happy. And if you would ask him a little bit further and say, how would you feel if all the Balabhatan came over to you and asked that question? He would say, wow, what could I get done? I could get amazing things done in this community. But people don't do it. Sometimes you'll have Balabhatan in the community who'll step up and they say, you know what? Our shul is too small. Okay? Sometimes maybe the mikveh is no good. Maybe there isn't even a mikveh in the community. Maybe the educational system, the schools, the elementary school and the high schools, aren't good enough, or maybe they don't exist. And you need people, or chesed organizations, and you need people to step up and do something. And so there'll be certain people in the community who will get up and do something. But they can't do it themselves, and they'll ask other people for help. Sometimes people step forward, sometimes not. But the success of those endeavors and those initiatives rest on the other people. You can't really get things done by just having one person doing it all. And you know what the real trick is? To be able to say, I'm going to help out, but I'm not going to stick my nose in that guy's business and tell him how to do it. Because very often, what happens? Let's say there's a person who wants to build a mikveh. And he gathers together 40 people in the community, which has been an amazing thing. He gathers together 40 people. And I know people who have done this. And those 40 people get involved. And each of them take different jobs. But if all of those 40 people decided to tell the person who's building the mikveh how the mikveh should be run, and all of a sudden becomes a whole committee how to build the mikveh, what's going to happen? It's not going to happen. Right? You know what they say what a camel is?
A committee that has horses on.
Right. It's a committee that sat down to build a horse. Right? They endeavored to build a horse, but they got the camel. That's the big thing, because sometimes when a person wants to volunteer, so they'll say, you know what, but I'm giving my time, so I have a right now, I was kona some type of right in this endeavor, so I should have a say. Here it takes not just the willingness to help, but also incredible humility. And maybe just a broader perspective to realize that I'm going to help, and I'm going to sacrifice my kavod here, and say, you know what, let's just get this thing done. What do you need for me to do? Tell me to do it. I'll do it. It's a very difficult thing. But that's what's required. And you know what the interesting thing is? In life, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or whether it's in Chutz La'aretz, these two leaders, okay, they need each other. And a number of years back, it dawned on me that our yeshiva has alumni from 1968. Already from 1968. And these alumni are from all over the world. And the message has always been from the yeshiva, I'm sure you know this, is of course become great in Torah, right? In terms of personal growth, Yir Shamayim, Chochma, learning, scholarship. But at the same time, to have a vision, you know, hear the baby cry, I'm sure you've heard this so much, right? But to be sensitive and to go out there and do something. So let's say people go out and say, we're going to do something. But a lot of our alumni, they were successful, they've done not nice things, but a lot of other people felt, you know, there wasn't a network, there wasn't training, there's no funding, there isn't all the things that you require to go ahead and implement a great plan, a great initiative, a great dream. And a number of years back, I discussed with the Rosh Yeshiva and with administrators of the Etzion Foundation, people who care deeply about the yeshiva, and I discussed this project with them, that maybe we should build a network of alumni, an alumni organization. We'll call it the Center for Torah Leadership, the Yeshiva Har Etzion Center for Torah Leadership, and we'll get funding, and the idea is to train the fellas, and now McDonald's also is included, okay, to train the girls, okay, to train them, to give them opportunities, to give them frameworks in different parts of the world, to do good things, to do good projects. And let's say we have people who have good ideas and they need funding, they need support, they need networking, they need other people to help them. They can come to us, and we can supply that to them. And we've done a lot of these things. It's still in the beginning stages, it's still nascent, but a lot of good things have been done. I don't know how many people, you know, check out the internet. I don't know how many people know so much about the internet. But if you go to the Gush website, you'll see that there's a button there called the Center for Torah Leadership. If you go to Torah on the website, the Center for Torah Leadership, you'll see alumni. There's a button that says you have to get like completely lost on that website not to find it. So you can find it. You can see some of the things that have been done. One of the key people that really makes sure that things happen has just walked in. Okay, Danny Mervis is the director of CTL, Center for Torah Leadership, and he is right now presently involved in a rabbinic conference that's going to take place, God willing, on May 20th and May 21st. That's being sponsored in part by CTL. It's for Gush Rabbinical Alumni and some of the broader leadership and friends. And we the Rosh Yeshiva, a number of the Rosh Yeshiva are going to be in, and educators from our yeshiva from all over the world are going to be coming in, from South Africa, maybe Australia, Brazil, England. God willing, we can accomplish some good things. We've had people come to us from all over the world for funding and different initiatives that they've had, and we've begun to do good things. Shabbatonim, a leadership training program, which we already did last summer, and we'd like to do again this year here in Yeshiva. We did it last year. I'm going to hand these out. Would you like to speak a little bit about the people who are doing this?
What is being handed out?
Yeah.
Maybe I shall.
Yeah, okay, take
Hi, my name's Danny.
Hi, Danny.
My job at CTL is to take the vision which comes from a tribe and the vision of the Rosh Yeshiva and to turn it into reality on the ground. So, like Rosh Shriver mentioned, there's a conference we're working on in New York soon. There's this series of sessions in Shirim we're going to have this summer in Yeshiva. And also a certain number of partner projects where we support. What is a partner project? A partner project is a project which is an initiative of an alumnus of Yeshivat Har Etzion or Migdal Oz. That means once you've already left the Yeshiva, somebody somewhere in the world wants to do something, but they feel they lack the educational support or the financial support or the structural support to do so. They write to Rav Shriver, or they write to me, or they come to us through our website and they ask us for our help. And we partner together with alumni from the last few years or from many years ago in the Yeshiva in order to help them with their initiatives. Which means, if there's anybody in this room who, after staying Shana Bet or longer in Yeshiva, or less, then finds himself anywhere in the world where you feel lonely, you've got a great idea, a great program, but you need funding, or you need help with it, or you need support from the Yeshiva, we're here in order to help you and to support you with that, so that what we have is a team or a network of alumni of the Yeshiva who are carrying out the Yeshiva's dream and hearing the babies cry all around the world, and we'd very much like to help you do that. We very much in Yeshiva teach you the importance of understanding the needs of the community, hearing the baby cry. What CTL does is also tries to support you in that as well, so that you're not alone when you try and do it. Let me take you through a few of the sessions we have here. You do not have to attend them all. I recommend that everybody attends some. You'll notice that anything which is a shiur will be appearing during afternoon Seder in place of chugim if Ramim are away, or in place of a chug. The sessions will be taking place in lunch break, and I'll quickly take you through and then answer any questions if there are. The first one, highly recommend, I think you should all attend, the introduction by Rav Shriver, which started a few minutes ago. Rav Yitzi Blau is going to be giving four sessions on the intellectual challenges of modern orthodoxy. You can ask anyone in Shana Bet about these sessions last year. I think in the first session it'll be something which he didn't do last year, and then he'll explain to the guys from Shana Bet what will be the same, what will be different from last year. Rav Yitzi Blau is a fantastic author, educator, very popular, and we're very, very lucky he's going to be coming in to give these four sessions to us. You'll notice that these sessions aren't necessarily skills-based, but they are very much knowledge-based. There are lots of leadership programs around the world where they train people to be leaders, and I'm not sure how much people get after that. What we very much try to do are to have sessions where somebody really goes away with something concrete, either valuable experience or valuable knowledge that they can really take with them and not something which they're going to leave behind. Jonathan Kern of YU is going to be here on Sunday to help those who are going to be going to go to YU next year and answer any of their questions. Another part of the program is preparing those who are going to be going to YU or college, preparing for the next stage after Yeshiva. Rav Binny Friedman of Oraita and Israelite is going to speak on Rav or Rebbe, different paradigms. In Kirov, a master of giving Devei Torah, a master speaker, an inspiring man of Bogeret Yeshiva, and he gives this talk through his experiences in Yeshiva, and it's a very, very valuable session to attend, which is highly recommended. a panel with Rav Yair Kahn, Rav Mordechai Friedman, Dr. Goldberg, and Ari Goldberg. For those who are going to YU, I'm not yet sure if this panel is open to people in Shana Aleph who aren't going to YU until after their Shana Bet. It may just be for those who are going straight away to YU. I'll let you know. This is going to be on our notice board, if we have a notice board in the Beit Midrash. Okay? And it'll be somewhere near where the notice board used to be. And look up for updates. So you can ask me who this panel specifically can be open to. Rav Steve Berg, the International Director of NCSY, will be talking about informal education. Hart Levine, the founder of Heart to Heart, a really fantastic initiative, is going to talk about his organization and also about starting organizations and getting things going while you're on campus. Rav Barzak is going to be giving two shiurim on responding to Bible criticism. Those shiurim will be in Ivrit, very, very highly recommended and valuable information to have. Rav Mordi Freeman of Eretz Tzvi is going to talk about responding to different types of Judaism on campus. Rav Ari Berman, do you know Rav Ari Berman?
Yes.
Major Talmud Chacham, great figure, just another guy in our Beit Midrash as well. He's going to be speaking to us about communal development and being the rabbi, a communal rabbi as a profession. He himself had to make the difficult decision about whether to be a communal rabbi in America, the very senior synagogue, or to make Aliyah. It's a very interesting dilemma to hear about his thoughts behind it and the decisions he made. He ended up here. Interesting things to hear about from Rabbi Berman. For those who are ever considering a career in the rabbinate or becoming a chairman of the shul or gabbai and to know how to look at things from the rabbi's point of view, a very worthwhile session. And finally, a panel for those going to campus with Rav Kahn, Rav Schrader, who's the director of JLIC, Olaf Sackers and Shimmy Marcus. Should be lots of fun. Do you want to add anything, or should we open some questions?
Sure.
Yeah,
thank you. About 40 minutes ago, I got off the phone with a philanthropist in Chutz Laretz, and this family is outstanding in their tzedakah. And I was speaking to the wife for a moment, and she said to me, I asked her like what she does in terms of chesed, like what herself, personally. So she said, thank God, my husband does very well, and I have free time. So I said, what do you do? So she says she uses her free time, like I'm thinking to myself, you know, different people do different things. Some people, you know, they'll just go shopping, and she goes to old age homes and spends her time there. She goes to children's hospitals. She says that's what she loves to do. This is a family that's unbelievably wealthy, and this is how she chooses to do her time and use her time. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, and she's a capable person. In this room, you have, I feel, some of the finest B'nai Torah of the upcoming generation. You know, it's hard to view yourselves that way. And I want you to take it with total humility, please. Okay, when I'm saying that, you will say, no, it's not tough. But I'm telling you that it's something you should still be saying, no. But there's so much that you can accomplish. And like, as I said, it takes determination, it takes vision, it takes willingness to sacrifice, to give of yourself, and not to put yourself in the limelight. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it that way, then it'll be so. But if the goal is to endeavor and to help and to be there, then whether you will be the Moshe or Aaron standing with Paro and speaking to him, or whether you'll be the Zakenim behind him, but either way, you will be Zocha for Kabbalah Satorah, as the Major says, what about Rashi? Take care and Hatzlacha Rabbi, guys.